Everyone, Gabriel here. It is early morning, Saturday, November 15th, 2025, and things are going pretty well. I am continuing to make progress towards my New Year's resolution goals, and a big part of that is that despite my recent foot injury, I have been getting better at accomplishing planned exercises on my solo workouts, and things are going pretty well on that front. I am trying to track progress for a broader range of exercises rather than just my favorites. And truthfully, I'm feeling a fair bit better about my fitness goals writ large. On top of that, I'm making good progress on one of my resolutions for 2026, which is to incorporate meal prepping into my routine as regularly as possible, but more importantly, build the skills that make that worthwhile and convenient. And so, for instance, right now, I'm walking to my shift this morning, and I have in my lunchbox a bit of ground beef and eggs, well, scrambled eggs and ground beef mixed together with some diced potatoes at the side, and that I'll be having with some Greek yogurt throughout the day, as well as some extra broccoli. I can definitely say that food temptation is no longer as much of an issue when I have things that I should be eating readily available. It seems to be that, at least with the way things are with me now, preparation does a lot of good for sticking with the plan. I'm a little disappointed in how little reading I've done in the last couple of months. I'm also disappointed in how little I've been able to work on some of my tech projects lately. But ultimately, I'm trying to tell myself that I need to be patient about what I'm trying to accomplish, because unfortunately, those things are not as high up the priority list as showing up to work and continuing to make progress on the weight loss and these kind of, I would say, more pressing concerns. With a lot of the nice comments I get from people, one of the things that's said is, oh, you must feel so much better. And it's funny because physically, yes, definitely. I definitely feel physically liberated in many ways, having gone this far in the journey, being 250 pounds down from the 570s is definitely a radical shift in lifestyle quality and, I would say, overall capabilities in your life, for sure. On the other hand, on the emotional front, it has been quite difficult lately. A big part of it is just the fact that I am at both ends of the candle. There is one burning of, well, Gabriel, you've still got further to go, and that pressure definitely dulls the sense of accomplishment for even getting to this far. And I have to remind myself what people pointed out about, well, if you wouldn't trade places with yourself a year ago, you've probably made pretty significant progress. So that's one of the things I'm trying to hold on to. Because I'll admit, this entire way, I've struggled to be grateful for the changes that have taken place, not in the sense that I'm not grateful for the kindness that has been extended to me, or that I'm not grateful for the encouragement and support I've gotten, but it's more that when I think of my own sense of accomplishment for this path, I will definitely admit that I actually don't feel a whole lot of it. And I guess a lot of it has to do with dissatisfaction with where I'm at, because in some ways, I have resolved many of the issues I wanted to tackle in this journey, but it's so clear there's so much more to go. And so I really am trying to let in the gratitude. And one of the ways I've kind of done that a little bit is I remind myself when I'm at the gym and people will tell me that losing this much weight is a significant accomplishment, I'm kind of telling myself maybe they're a better judge of how impressive that is than I am because I'm very hard on myself, as many people have noted, and it's definitely something I'm trying to work on. Ironically, I think I've made some progress in that category because having gone as far as I've gone, I am beginning to separate in my mind the idea of having high standards for oneself, of trying to push oneself hard rather than necessarily being hard on oneself. I can definitely say for much of this road, but especially beforehand, these were concepts that were entirely inseparable in my mind. I would have thought that the only way to raise my own personal standards and to really push myself harder was that that would require being harder on myself in general. And so that's a very difficult habit to break. But I can say that when it comes to disentangling those ideas, I would say a non-trivial part of it is simply accepting that there are investments in yourself that you can make that make you better able to meet whatever the standards you're trying to reach, whatever goals you're trying to accomplish, or whatever tasks you're trying to get through. And I can definitely say separating that away from the idea of being critical of oneself seems to be entirely fundamental. And it kind of goes all the way back to one of the early motivational memes I collected, where this lady talks about how, you know, seeds are made to grow. And if a seed isn't growing, you ask it, what does it need that it's not getting? You don't berate the seed, et cetera, et cetera. And it's funny how long after trying to internalize that message, it's actually kind of starting to sink in. And in understanding that there is a difference between being critical and supporting growth. Very often I see people, whenever various problems are discussed, but especially weight loss, there will be this kind of flippant, oh, you just need to do X, Y, or Z. Now, the problem I have with a lot of this specific advice is that in many ways, it's a lot of superstition. If you want to be a purely objective person, you can say, oh, it's all about the calorie numbers. And in my opinion, that's at least more true than a lot of the advice given out there. But what I'm really trying to say is that there are usually a constellation of reasons why somebody is unhealthy. And by telling them they just need to make one simple change, importantly, stick with it, it's possible that that specific change may not actually be enough for them to change because it exists in a broader context that because you are not the other person, you don't really have a great grasp of. I think we should be more careful about what kind of prescriptions we give to people to resolve their problems. And it's fascinating to me because I guess it shows a lack of willingness to listen. One of the things that I really felt about that kind of pattern is that people would say, oh, well, you just need to do this. And the truth is, in many circumstances, they haven't even spent the time to listen to the situation you're actually in, regardless of whether it's health or some other problem people have. And so I think this kind of devolves into a bit of a cargo cult mentality where, perfect example here, because I've gotten a lot of great community and support at the gym I'm at, I can't tell everyone else in the world, oh, you just need to join a gym and that will solve all your problems. Because first of all, it hasn't even solved all of my problems. Let's be frank about this. It has solved a significant amount of them and given me guidance and support in ways that is actually amazing and incredible. But that is not the same as saying I can take this idea from my life and then impose it on everyone around me and say, this is the thing that will do it. And if you don't do that, then well, you're not really trying, or some other crass, dismissive thing like that. And so what I'm trying to say is that I'm realizing more and more that overcoming personal problems is incredibly context dependent. and a lot of advice is inherently stripped of that context. And that's why I've always found it fascinating to dive deep into fitness YouTube, where the more you learn and the deeper you go, the assessment generally ends up being you have to figure this all out by yourself, because somebody can make rep range suggestions, somebody can make various exercise suggestions, but ultimately you are the person who has to make them work within your own life. Now, to be fair, guidance is very important. I'm not throwing the idea of guidance entirely out the window, because for many people, I'm sure there is a baseline level of information that they do actually need, which is why many people will criticize fitness for being a solved problem. You lift, you eat healthy, you get enough rest, everything's good, right? But I do think where the nitty-gritty details matter is that if you're a particular person in a particular set of circumstances, whatever those may be, there may be specific pieces of information that are incredibly valuable to you that may not seem terribly relevant or important when just analyzed in this kind of like outsider objective mindset. And where I see this come up a lot in conversations is people will say, oh, this really helped me. And then other people will be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. The studies don't support it. And the irony is that by definition, when a study is evaluating whether a thing is a effective intervention in any circumstance, there is this important desire to isolate it from all the different variables. For instance, if you're trying to discover if something's actually good for people's health, you generally need to isolate the variables for wealth, because wealthier people on average tend to be healthier in some ways. Now, not in every case, mind you. Of course, there are always exceptions and there are some anti-patterns as well. But I'm just saying in general, you can adjust for income status and these kinds of things. But I think ironically, it's harder for some people who have, let's just say, very specific circumstances that are probably not as easily identified or filtered out in data sets. And that creates scenarios where maybe a piece of information that will help someone. And this sounds very general and very vague, but I guess to give a specific example. If somebody has, for instance, I had a specific emotional connection to particular food items because of how that came up in my childhood and how it was treated generally, it may be better to simply cut out those items entirely rather than necessarily say, oh, if it fits your macros, bro. You know, it's the kind of thing that it's now more clear to me than ever that anyone's life is incredibly complicated. And there are definitely unintuitive reasons for many things going on. And so I think on some level, it's a reason to be patient. But I do think it's also that when it comes to reversing many of these challenges people have, it's important to dig deep and ask yourself, why am I doing this? What is going on? And I'll admit, the further you go, the harder it is to really even remember why you've built up certain habits or ways of thinking about things. And on some level, sometimes it is just better to leave that question to the past and try to figure out how you want to build up new habits and new ways of thinking even. So I don't know, that was pretty abstract for me to go on my soapbox about. But I guess in general, it's just, I'm starting to feel like advice is not compassionate writ large. If I was to go through this journey and tell people, oh, you just need to do, insert a subset of things I've done over the last year, and say, well, then see, anybody can do it. And I actually struggle with the anybody can do it phrasing, not because I don't think it's true. I actually do think anybody can make the changes that they want to get the results they want within certain parameters. It's, I guess, that within certain parameters qualifier I struggle with, because my experience of making this change did actually require me to give up a lot. I did actually have to take the leap of faith and basically accept that I would be giving up the life I had before I started this journey. Now, to be fair, things weren't going particularly stellar at that point. I was essentially approaching, if not fully reaching, rock bottom at that point. So that did not necessarily seem like a difficult thing to do, but I'll actually turn that idea on its head and say it actually is. Because if you've built up habits and a lifestyle to survive various troubles, to endure various pains you've been living, it is actually incredibly hard to give those up. And I think that's part of the reason why truly transformative change is genuinely very difficult for many people. And I think that's a hard thing to wrestle with. And so when it comes to anybody can do it, I guess I would say the price, personally, financially, emotionally, in a bunch of different ways, is significant. I would not want somebody to take my example of, oh, look, Gabriel did it. So like, you should feel bad if you can't accomplish the same. And the fact of the matter is, nothing would be further from the truth. I've tried to be pretty transparent about what has gone into me making this change. I talked about how from the beginning, I was wrestling with a lot of the emotional side of this fight. And I will admit, I wish I had spent more time documenting that. And I guess ironically, it's because I didn't even value it as much as I should have at the time. And then it was very fortuitous that after a lucky break of a decently paying job, I was able to save up some resources to build a runway, make weight loss Gabriel's top priority for a year. And yeah, it's made an absolutely radical difference. But now that I am beginning to separate myself from that, as I am introducing other priorities and responsibilities into my life, it is becoming incredibly clear that accomplishing the same feat under these conditions is not as easy. Now, on the other hand, that's not the same thing as me saying I'm not going to continue. I am actually quite excited to continue to push forward and build on the progress I've made so far and apply everything I've learned so that I can continue to make radical progress despite introducing various challenges, responsibilities, and opportunities. And so far, I can say it has given me a deeper insight into how valuable the skills I've built up really are. And it has given me more insight into how incredibly useful it is to have a set of skills of finally spending the time to learn to cook for myself, being able to actually carry it out within a relatively short period of time, and developing an attitude of trying to prepare myself for life. I mean, that's really what I think taking care of oneself fundamentally is that you have to be prepared for what you're going to face. And ironically, a pretty solid example of that is this last Thursday, I felt this sudden compulsion to meal prep a bunch of, well, what I'm having for lunch today, which is scrambled eggs, ground beef, and potato slices. And the thing is this is kind of a like off the top whim. I was like, oh, I just want to do this. And part of the reason I just wanted to do that is because it's part of my plan for the new year to get better. And so I value the practice that it takes to go into it. And so then it turns out, without even thinking about it, at the same time, I was also taking on an extra shift today, which is ironic because Saturday was my like scheduled meal prep day. So it was very fortunate that I was already kind of running the program ahead of time, and I just incidentally decided to make that investment in my future self. And it actually paid off pretty quickly because it makes this weekend that otherwise would have been more hectic with extra shifts and feeling pinched for time, it actually makes this a whole lot easier. And I'm pretty happy about it, all things considered. And one of the ways I've seen that explained is that what you really want to do is you need to treat yourself, but more importantly, your future self, as a friend you're trying to do nice things for. And I think that's a great way of saying it for people like myself, who maybe because of guilt and personal frustrations, we are fairly self-critical in a variety of ways, and that can unfortunately undermine our own value in ourselves. And for long-time listeners, I have a bit of a conundrum that I want to ask, but especially anyone who stumbles upon it and feels like answering, by all means, your thoughts would be appreciated as well. Despite having a pretty strong personal stance myself on various enhancements, so to speak, such as novel weight loss drugs or some of the other novel compounds people use to change their bodies, I haven't been, you know, out loud about the fact that I'm going about this weight loss naturally. I am doing it through diet and exercise without the assistance of these particular fat loss drugs, such as the GLP-1 agonists like Ozempic or other fancier things that I'm sure are out there. And this is particularly important to me, partially because I do think, you know, when people point to your example and say, see, anyone can do it, I think it undermines that idea if you are employing these tools. Now, part of the reason I haven't been terribly loud about this choice of mine is because I don't want to come across as if I am judging those who use these tools. I have my own concerns about them, of course. I have reasons why I wouldn't want to do it myself. And I definitely have fears about how they exist in a broader context of health that maybe requires more thought, more care, etc., etc. But as a matter of personal interaction or personal understanding, I wouldn't want somebody who has used these to lose weight or is even considering it to feel as though I am necessarily judging them for that particular choice. Because what I've laid out here is that I am very aware that everybody has their own unique life circumstances. In general, the way I would say it is that having seen what it takes to make this transformation naturally, what I'm really wondering and what I want people's opinions on is, should I be louder about it? Should I bang the drum about, like, oh, I lost this much weight naturally, blah, blah, blah. And I will admit, I struggle to do that. But I can think of good reasons why somebody should do that, because I wouldn't want the opposite. I wouldn't want somebody to be like, oh, well, Gabriel lost the weight over these years, those drugs were available, therefore it must be those drugs, therefore I must have to use these drugs to accomplish the same. So I guess my question is, although I've been transparent in the sense that if somebody is to listen to this entire string of recordings, it would be pretty clear how I got to where I got to, at least in some ways, I'm definitely curious if it is worth emphasizing or being louder about the fact that my weight loss, but also fitness goals, are very much under the context of what I think is a, let's just say, vaguely natural journey. Because some people will go as far as to say, oh, well, protein powder is artificial, therefore you can't really call it natural. But, which is probably why I struggle with the word natural anyways. I mean, is modern industrial agriculture natural? Is anything humans do natural? I mean, that's a whole other discussion that I'm not really trying to get boggled down in. So maybe instead of saying, oh, I've done this naturally, which I think is a weird cliche way of saying it anyways, I'm thinking I might just say, yeah, without the assistance of these particular drugs is kind of what I'm currently thinking of, because that's really part of it. But I don't know, it's something that's I'm rummaging around in my head about, is the fact that maybe because of how shallow everyone interacts with everything online in general, maybe it is important to put certain pieces of information very readily accessible, because omitting them has certain impacts. I don't know, but I don't consider it a terribly high priority. I actually don't think there's that many people paying attention to my particular story. So, and hey, there are others. I'm not the only person doing this. So I guess the importance of how I approach these particular minute details isn't terribly important, but it is definitely something that is on my mind. Overall, I'm definitely at the point where I can say I'm feeling pretty good about things as a whole. It's just that I will say emotionally I am struggling with facing the fact that in isolating myself socially as I got bigger, but then as the world got crazier and I got, I guess you could say, more scared, by coming out of my shell, I'm having to face down what I essentially gave up. And I can tell you, it is incredibly painful and honestly quite enraging when I really sit with it and face it, which I definitely struggle to do even these days. But I think why I need to go through this is so that I can learn the importance of these things, learn the importance of connection. I guess despite it being something I sought so much growing up, I think I took it for granted, and that is what began my descent into self-isolation as a means to overcome problems, which is very, very counterproductive. I would not recommend it at all. And so that's one thing I'm wrestling with in these times, that although the outward appearance of me to the world is that, oh, everything's going great, you know, number go down, you know, it's all smiles and claps. But like, I think one of the things I never expected to be hit in the face with as I've started to make progress until it happened was the fact that the life you retreated from will hit you in the face when you try to start living it again. And boy, that's hard. It's very hard. Which is why I'm definitely very glad that a big part of this process wasn't just, oh, I'm just focusing on body changes. I guess I'm very grateful that I decided to start at the emotional and psyche level. You know, without that, I'm not sure I would be able to hold on as well as I am these days. And the kindness and support I get from many people these days is absolutely vital. And so I'm just very grateful that I have been blessed with circumstances that are very beneficial to me in this time. I thank you for listening, and I hope you are having an excellent one. Take care.